Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 11, it says this, under the heading, True Fasts and Sabbaths. I cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring... There you go. That's all right. She's just messing with me back there. She's thinking, I'll get him. And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself and your own flesh. When your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. And may God grant his blessings upon the reading of the word. One of the things that we should make sure that doesn't take place starting next Sunday and for the 21 days that follow is that we get a big head because we're fasting. It's kind of like the scripture that says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And I put my right hand out first, and I did that backwards. But to you guys, that's the left side for you, so I'll claim that way. But we don't fast to brag. We don't fast in order to get the big head. We don't fast to bring attention to ourselves. We fast to bring attention to our Savior. And we have the opportunity to show God that we mean business. Do you get that? We mean business. That we are serious about our relationship with Him. That we love Him so much that we're willing to do something that's not easy. You know, it's easy to pray. We may not take the time, but it's easy to just talk to God. And if you don't think that's the case, you really should think that's the case. Rob and I, or TJ and Diane and I, can have a conversation. That's what you're doing when you pray. You have a conversation with the Lord.
Yep, that's it.
And so we need to show that we mean business. He already knows that. Does he really, though, know where your heart stands? Again, he knows everything, but he wants to know where you stand. What are you willing to do in your relationship with Him? Are you willing to just do the easy things in life? Show up to church on Sunday morning? Come to Bible study?
come to Tuesday night. That's the pretty easy stuff, isn't it? And many times we don't even do that. Rob's talked before about how many hours in the week there are and how many times we give those few hours to the Lord. It's a fraction of what we do in a week. So we show God that we mean business, but we also show God that we're really sorry. In Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, after finishing these things, the officials approached me saying, "The people of Israel, the priests and the Levites have not separated from the people of the lands with the detestable things and from the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites." Now, I want to hear you guys say that real fast. That's the quiz. It's not up there. Can you say that real fast? I can't because it was written right here in front of me. "For they have taken from their daughters and from themselves and their sons, so the holy seed has mixed itself with the peoples of the land, and the hand of the officials and perfect were foremost in this sin. When I heard this, I tore my garment and my robe and pulled out the hair from my head and beard, and I sat appalled." We find that Ezra here was talking about how sorry he was for what was going on in that story we just read. When we've been exposed for folly and we are really sorry, we should also want to know that God is pleased with repentance. So many times we say we're sorry. So many times we ask people to forgive us. But my question is, are we willing to repent of our sins? Repent is different than asking for forgiveness. Repent is different from being sorry. Repent means that you ask for forgiveness, that you're sorry, but don't give me anything about but. But you turn around and you go the opposite direction from your sins.
Amen.
You go the opposite direction from your sins. Because if all you do is say, "I'm sorry," that just relieves your guilty feeling.
Right.
If all you do is say, "Will you forgive me?" That's just the same as saying you're sorry. You want to be guilt-free. But if you truly repent, you're going to turn around and you're going to go the opposite direction. And you're going to make that a big deal to the person that you repent to. Whether it just be Jesus or whether it be somebody in your life, the repentance has to take place, or else you'll go back to having to say, "I'm sorry." You'll have to go back to saying, "Will you forgive me?" And I'm not saying that if you repent that you won't have a time where you have to go back and do that. But you won't have to keep going back and do that over and over and over. Because if you don't repent, then you're really not sorry. If you don't repent, you really don't want forgiveness. You're selfish is what you are. You're selfish is what you are. And I could get over on that topic and preach a whole sermon on repentance. But we're on to prayer and fasting, so we'll continue on. We plead with God to change His mind. And there are verses where God doesn't change His mind. But there are times that God changes His mind on what He's going to do.
Yes, that's right.
Throughout the Old Testament, He changed His mind several times.
Yep.
So you might think, I have the ability to change God's mind. I believe you do. If you're living a life that God doesn't want you to live, you're going to hell. Ooh, boy, it gets real quiet when you say that. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you backslide. And I don't know, you may believe differently than this, but I don't believe in once saved, always saved. You may come from a background that believes that, but I believe that the Scripture shows that we can backslide, and if we backslide, we're pretty much the same as if we never was a Christian. You may have gained some knowledge, and you may have gained a lot of things while you were a Christian, but if you backslide, you better get down here and repent of your sins and turn away from them if you want to be in heaven. Yeah. I fully believe that.
Right.
There's several instances. The king of Nineveh, hearing of Jonah's message of doom, said, "Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." God changed his mind.
Yes, he did. Yep.
And fortunately, Jonah changed his mind too. Think about this. No preacher would want to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. It was not a good place. I'm sure that Jonah thought, "Why me? There's plenty of people that could do that. Why did you pick me?" He went the opposite direction. And still, he ended up doing the right thing. And God ended up not forcing his wrath upon the people of Nineveh at that point in time. Elijah gave King Ahab a devastating word. "I'm going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free." However, when Ahab heard the words that were spoken, he tore his clothes in sackcloth and fasted. And fasted. If we want action, I'm not saying that God won't answer your prayers, but if we want action, we show God that we're serious, that we're willing to go and do the right thing and get closer to Him. That's the whole deal about fasting, to be closer to Jesus. You know, we're going to benefit. Sometimes I think, man, I wonder how much weight I'll lose when we fast. That's a good thing for me. But that's not why we fast. We fast to be closer to Jesus and be more like Him. Think about fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And then having to take on Satan.
Yeah, you're right.
You would think he being Jesus, would have not had the energy to take on Satan. Because let me tell you, it takes some energy to take on Satan. But Jesus gave us the example that it could take place. Now let me tell you something real quick. Rob hit on this, but if you have a physical condition, don't fast just because we fast. Talk to your doctor and see if that's an acceptable thing. If you've got sugar problems, you know, fasting may not be the right thing for you. But you can still do things to get closer to God. Maybe that's when you give up something other than food. Maybe you give up watching TV at night and you spend that time in prayer. See, you don't have to be left out because that you can't physically fast and medically fast. You can give up something else. And who knows, maybe we just need to give up that nightly television anyway. We can clarify God's will. We pray for God's will a lot. I would assume that you do. I do. I pray that God would show me the way. But we can get clarification when we get closer to Him. We are instructed to know God's will. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, "Because of this, do not become foolish, but understand that the will, what the will of the Lord is." What is the will of the Lord? Do you pray and ask Him to shut doors that need to be shut and open doors that need to be open? You need to. We need to know what His will is. And sometimes we think, well, how will we know? Dig into God's Word. Ask for His will to be shown to you. Ask Him to give you the right scriptures. And I'm not talking about just thumbing through and saying, oh, 1 Chronicles 4, chapter or verse 23. I'm not talking about doing that, even though that can work for some people and at certain times. I'm talking about digging into the scripture. I'm talking about looking up where you can find what it is that you're looking for. And go searching God's Word. Anybody that gets behind this pulpit will tell you, don't take our word, take this word. I can mess up. I can give you bad advice. I can even misinterpret scripture. But the Bible will not misinterpret things for you. Search for your own. In my podcast, I tell people that all the time. Whether it be talking about scripture or it be talking about a topic that's prevalent in current events, don't just listen to what people have to say. People will deceive you. People will tell you what they want you to know, but conveniently leave things out. And so when you dig into the scripture, whether it be fasting or praying or whatever the topic it is, make sure that you dig deep enough and don't just look at one verse. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel." That doesn't mean nothing. I just picked that out right there. But you got to dig to find what God wants you to find. Sometimes maybe it's easy, but sometimes it may take a long time. Maybe it takes a lot of different times digging into the scripture to find what God wants you to know. We're instructed to know God's will, and we look for God's continued blessing. We look for power, and we look for answers to unanswered prayer. Do you just give up in your prayer life? Say, well, maybe God's will wasn't that. Look how long certain people had to pray to get the will of God. Don't give up on God, because God doesn't give up on you. Now, if you truly believe and God has led you to stop praying about something, by all means, God's will may not be that. But just because it hasn't been answered yet doesn't mean that the answer's not coming. Maybe God wants to see if you're willing to give up things that you need to give up. Maybe He's wanting to know, are you willing to do what is necessary to have the relationship that you need in order to get that close to God? Maybe there's a case in point where if you're not so close to God that you can't understand what it is that He's telling you, that you've got to get there before you get that answer. I'm kind of getting blank looks on this one. Maybe you've got to get closer to the Lord before you can even grasp what it is that He has for you in your life. Fasting is a time to get closer to the Lord. Of course, we went over some cautions. We went over the temptation to be self-righteous. Most of the time, fasts are short in nature. You know, if after our 21-day fast, if you feel the need to fast, it's okay to fast for a day. It's okay to fast for 3 days. Every fast that you do doesn't have to be 21 days. And you know what? If you don't make it through all 21 days, God still loves you.
Yep, true.
Maybe you didn't reach your goal, but God still loves you. And maybe you slip up one day. That doesn't mean you can't go back and start the next day. You know, some of us, and you know if I'm talking about you, I don't know if I'm talking about you, except for some of you. Everything is a competition. If we don't make it 21 days, we're a failure. I got to get that 21 days and beat Rob, because I can't stand if Rob beats me on something. That goes way back.
You need to repent.
You're right. We had a couple softball teams that really needed to repent of a lot of things back in the day. But you're not a failure. Just start again.
Yeah, you're right.
Or do it another time. Or continue to pray. I don't want to discourage you, but I want to encourage you, but I don't want you to feel like you're a loser if you start this fast and just can't complete it. I hope every one of us that decides to do the 21-day fast makes it through from day 1 through day 21. Because I believe that we will see things happen in our lives that maybe we've never seen before. I believe that if we as a congregation band together, bond together, that we'll see things happen in this church that we've never seen happen before. And Rob says that this congregation has fasted many years and many times, but I believe that God has things in store for us that we've never experienced before.
Yes.
Do you believe that? I believe that when we minister to the community, that there's going to be a day and a time that we're going to see people give their life to the Lord on the fourth Wednesday of every month.
Yep.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. Yes. Do you believe that handing out a drink of water or a piece of clothing or whatever, give a handshake, maybe even a hug, that couldn't lead somebody to the Lord? If you don't believe that, then you don't really have confidence that God can do all things.
Yeah, good.
Do you believe that somebody can come in here the very first time off the streets and hear the good news of Jesus Christ, whether it be through the message, whether it be through communion like we're going to take in a few minutes, whether it be through praise and worship, or whether it just be from a hug during the greeting time, then don't shortchange my God.
Right.
Because my God can do all things. You can take somebody that don't know anything about God and the Holy Spirit come upon them and they know in their gut, in their conscience, whatever, that there is something that I got to give up. My life stinks. And I got to make a change. And I might be talking to somebody right now that's sitting here and your life may stink. And you may need to make a change. And today is the day. We talked about fasting and we talked about praying. And I've learned a lot as I studied and prepared for this. I hope you've learned a little bit today. If you learned a lot, then that's even better. But what I really want you to know is that Jesus loves you. No matter where you are in your walk, Jesus loves you. He wants you to be with Him for all of eternity. Think about that. There's not a whole lot of people that are sitting in here that's older than I am. There's a couple of you. But I think back on 56 years, and that seems like a short time in some ways, but it seems like a long time in other ways. That's just one little drop in an ocean.
Yep.
Compared to what eternity is.
You're right. Yeah.
And that one little drop in the ocean is small compared to what eternity is. Because ultimately, if you took a drop out of the ocean and took a drop out of the ocean, it could dry up, right? Eternity's not going to dry up. It's going to last forever and ever and ever. And that's so hard for our minds to grasp. Think about sitting through a boring sermon. Go ahead. Laugh. I said it to get a chuckle. Sometimes it seems like the preacher's never going to shut up. Am I right? Have you ever sat through a really boring sermon? And Glenn Keller, bless his heart, he went to be with Jesus, but he used to sit over about where Penny sat at the Moravian Church. He'd fall asleep. Every Sunday. I kind of took offense to it. But I know Glenn's heart. And I know that he wouldn't just fall asleep because he didn't like my sermon. He was old and he was getting up there. But he probably thought at times, man, is he ever going to shut up? If I went past a certain time, the people in the balcony would be up there going like this. Well, not everybody, but there was one person in particular that would pull his sleeve up and and I'd start ignoring him. Because to me, when God gives you a message, He doesn't say it's got to end 20 minutes later. It may end 20 minutes later, but it may end up an hour and 20 minutes later. And Lord help me if I'd have ever done that. This guy would have definitely got up and walked out. But are we going to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Are you willing to listen to the gift that Jesus left behind? Are you willing to do what it takes? As we fast and we pray, are you willing to step out in faith and give your life to Jesus? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all of the things in life that you have provided for us. We thank you for your love and your goodness and your mercy. And we thank you for being able to look into the Holy Scriptures and find the answers to everything we need to know. And Father, just now, if there is one person in this room that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, help them to be willing to take that leap of faith and to step out into that aisle and to walk up front and publicly acknowledge that they need you, that they need Jesus, that they need the Holy Spirit in their life. Father, as we get ready to go into our time of communion as well, we just ask that we will do what we talked about with the fasting, that we will come closer to you in all that we say, in all of our actions, and all that we do. Please, Father, this is just on my heart so much. If there is somebody here that doesn't know you, help them not to walk out that door. As we learned so vividly this week, we may not make it for the next 15 minutes. And Father, I pray that that's not used as a scare tactic, but as a reality. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've got a song.
So you're a podcast listener. That's awesome. Did you know that you can enjoy an even better listening experience with the new Pocket Casts app? With powerful search and discovery tools, they've made it easier than ever before to find your next favorite podcast. It was even recognized by Wired Magazine as the podcast app every iPhone user needs. Pocket Casts is beautifully designed, easy to use, and offers amazing features like play without subscribing and advanced episode search. Pocket Casts helps you discover quickly and enjoy your favorite podcast with more than 500,000 shows to choose from. Change can be hard, but sometimes it's worth it. Download Pocket Casts today from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, or on the web at pocketcasts.com. You'll be glad you did it.